Listen, there was a time when you couldn't even go to the restroom around this school without a pass. And I'm not talking about those little pink tickets made out by some teacher. I'm talking about a pass that would cost anywhere up to a buck, sold by Monk Kluter. Not that Mighty Monk ever touched money, not in public. The gang he ran, which ran the school for him, was his collection agency. They were Kluter's Cobras, a name spelled out in nailheads on 6 well-known black plastic windbreakers. Monk's threads were more subtle. A pile-lined suede battle jacket with lizard skin flaps over tailored Levi's and a pair of ostrich skin boots, brass-toed and suitable for kicking people around. One of his Cobras did nothing all day but walk a half step behind Monk, carrying a fitted bag with Monk's gym shoes, a coil of restroom passes, a cash box, and a switchblade that Monk gave himself manicures with at lunch over at the Cobra's table. Speaking of lunch, there were cases of advanced malnutrition among the newer kids. The ones who were a little slow in handing over a cut of their lunch money and were therefore barred from the cafeteria. Monk ran a tight ship. I admit it. I'm 5'5", but when the Cobras slithered by, with or without Monk, I shrank. And I admit this, too. I paid up on a regular basis. And I might add, so would you. This school was old Monk's Garden of Eden. Unfortunately for him, there was a serpent in it. The reason Monk didn't recognize trouble when it was staring him in the face is that the serpent in the Cobra's Eden was a girl. Practically every guy in school could show you his scars. Fang marks from Cobras, you might say. Lumps, lacerations, blue bruises. But girls usually got off with a warning. Except there was this one girl named Priscilla Roseberry. Picture a girl named Priscilla Roseberry and you'll be light years off. Priscilla was, hands down, the largest student in the school. I'm not talking fat. I'm talking big. Even beautiful in a bionic way. Priscilla wasn't inclined toward organized crime. Otherwise, she could have put together a gang that would turn Kluter's Cobras into a bunch of garter snakes. Priscilla was basically a loner, except she had one friend, a little guy named Melvin Detweiler. You talk about the odd couple. Melvin's one of the smallest guys above midget status ever seen. They even had lockers next to each other in the same bank as mine. I don't know what they had going. I'm not saying this was a romance. After all, people deserve their privacy. Priscilla was sort of above everything, if you'll pardon a pun, and very calm, as only the very big can be. If there was anybody who didn't notice Kluter's Cobras, it was Priscilla. Until one winter day after school, when we were all grabbing our coats out of our lockers and hurrying, since Kluter's Cobras made sweeps of the halls for after-school shakedowns. Anyway, up to Melvin's lockers swaggers one of the Cobras. Never mind his name. Gang members don't need names. They have group identity. He reaches down and grabs little Melvin by the neck and slams his head against his locker door. The sound of skull against steel rippled all the way down the locker now, speeding the crowds on their way. Okay, let's see your pass, snarls the Cobra. A pass for what this time? Melvin asks, probably still dazed. Let's call it a pass for very short people, says the Cobra. A dwarf tax. He wheezes a little Cobra chuckle, and already he's reaching for Melvin's wallet with the hand that isn't circling Melvin's windpipe. All this time, of course, Melvin and the Cobra are standing in Priscilla's big shadow. She's taking her time, shoving her books into her locker and pulling on an extra large coat. Then, quicker than the eye, she brings the side of her enormous hand down in a chop that breaks the cobra's hold on Melvin's throat. You could hear a pin drop in that hallway. Nobody'd ever laid a finger on a cobra, let alone a hand the size of Priscilla's.